Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures, and all the depths, fire and hail,
snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted, His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people. The praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to that portion we read together. And our text is really the whole psalm, Psalm 148. I know that one or two of you here in the congregation, I can tell, you're great singers, you're good singers. You may be even from a choir somewhere. Some may have joined a choir at some time. Others dare not join a choir because they know they don't have the gift of what it is then to sing. But I want to say to you this morning, as we begin, as we've come here, there is a heavenly choir which we are all called and summoned to be part of. There is a performance which is to take place in the future. And these psalms, the end of the psalms, they point to that time, the consummation, when there will be a great choir which will be called to sing before God. And everyone is called to sing in this choir. Everyone from heaven to earth to under the sea to the birds of the air, everyone is summoned to be part of this worship which will be given unto God. And what we have here in this book this morning is a revelation. It's the revelation of the purpose, the revelation of the reason of why God has made this universe, this world, made you and your life, and has given you breath. And there is this purpose for it, and it is for this, that you would worship Him, that you would glorify Him, that you would enjoy Him forever. This book tells us not only how this world was made, not only tells us what we are to do in this world, but tells us how this world is going to end. Tells us how it's going to end, what the aim of this whole existence is for. And Psalm 148 is bringing us to that very place, that very existence itself. And you know, this morning, what you find in Psalm 146 onwards, 47, 48, 49, is called the Hallelujah Choruses. They begin with praise the Lord. And there is something here, you see, where we are to come and to praise God. There's a real place for it in our lives. And when a person actually becomes a Christian, that is a work that God wants us to do. It's the work we're called to first of all. God doesn't call you to the mission field first of all. He calls you to the music school. He really does. God, I assure you, is not looking today for any workers that somehow He is short in His mission field. But it does say this, that He does seek those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's looking for people who will worship Him. And when God made you, He made you that you would do that. And then perhaps for some of you here in this place, there was a day when you were remade in Jesus Christ. And when that happened to you, you had a real great impulse that you're going to praise him in your life. You were born to worship him. And then there came a day when you were reborn and you were born again. And with that Spirit of God, he has come then that you should come and you sing those hymns unto him. And this psalm, Psalm 148, I don't want you to miss it. Don't miss now what's being said. There's the great summons for us to praise the Lord, summons for us to come and to join this great choir. But remember this, it's the summons that we're to praise him with all of God's creation and God's people. We're not to praise him just you in your small corner and I in my small corner, but there's a joining now with everything, which is all going to come, as we'll see, this very day. And so this morning, very simply, we look at verse 1 to verses 6, and you will find there this praise the Lord, which is then from the heavens. And there are three heavens which are mentioned. There's the heavens in which where God is to be found. That is now where the prodigal son said, "I have sinned against heaven and against you." There is the heaven where the heavenly creatures are before the throne. There are the other heavens which are in the skies of the sun and the moon and the stars, the celestial and the terrestrial. And then there's another heaven of the sky. And here now you see there's a God, we're told in the very beginning. In the beginning God made the heavens, and the heavens are to come and to there to praise him and there to worship him. And so you find, someone asked me this week actually, is heaven a place or is heaven just a state? No, heaven is definitely a place and is filled with praise. And the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, and he tells us, do you know that this day, that when even one sinner repents, there is joy in the presence, even in the angels themselves, they do rejoice. And they can say today, perhaps they're there, another soul of Adam's lost race, another one coming to our Lord and Saviour. They know they were there when they were redemption was planned. They were there when Christ was born. They were there in the garden, and they were there at the tomb. And perhaps there's one today who's come to know of all that Jesus Christ has done, and there's a chorus in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so you find it here, not only of these great angels, but of the hosts which are in heaven. Because not only are these angels, these great creatures, and don't you also know the redeemed of God's people, those now which have departed and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in heaven, a blissful state. They're with the Lord Jesus, and they're there. And they also know of those coming into the kingdom and into the gates, and they're also praising. It's a great place of rejoicing. And so now the psalmist, he's calling on these great heavenly creatures. And everyone who's in heaven, you come and you praise the Lord. And the one who's calling the praise, let me just mention it to you, in case I forget, is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. He's the one who is the great choir master. He's the one, you see, who is in the Psalms, speaking and calling to you this day, that you would come to know something of this note within your life. But look now what you find in verse 3. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. And he's calling on this great universe, now the terrestrial dimensions, to sing those that worship unto him. Let me mention that for you for a moment. I know it may seem strange to us, but the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned this when he was on earth. You remember when he was actually coming and the day came, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. And he says, if you did not cry out, these people around me did not cry out, even the stones themselves would cry out. And we don't understand the nature of this created order. But the Bible does tell us. It tells us that this nature and creation, it groans and labours with birth pangs until now. And it's waiting for the redemption of the body of the sons of God. And there is something in creation which is making a groaning, because this psalm calls, and don't miss the point. When the psalmist is calling, it's because the creation itself is not worshipping. You and me don't worship. And there's that call for us to come to him. And we need it. And I don't know, but God's put something, even in the material order. Now, I'm no expert and no scientist in any stretch of the imagination. But I was watching one little program one day, and they had these kind of equipment. We're going over the rocks. And so they were telling me that these rocks were picking up impulses. These rocks were picking up vibrations. These rocks had some kind of sound frequency. Now, obviously, we can't hear that. There are certain things that we can't detect. My dog can detect. He's got bigger ears than me. And now you've got equipment now which can detect what's going on in this world. And when you think of the sun, do you know someone said that the power of the sun is like a trillion atomic bombs going off every second, and we don't hear it, but the explosions and the power. And one day, do you not realize that everything of this created order will be called in to play a part in this heavenly choir, and everyone will have something of a tune to give and a tune to sing unto this God? And so he tells us here in verse 4, "And you praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens," those clouds now in the sky, they'll also have a part to play, because they're not out of God's creation. God uses those clouds. He uses them many times. He comes in the cloud, and one day he'll come again, and everyone will give thanks unto him. Now, that's just a beginning, and it's something for us to learn, is that this book tells us that this created order is one which is giving, in some way and dimension, worship which is unto God. Don't forget that. It's good to see you on holiday, and perhaps you'll go round that Pembrokeshire coast. And as you go round that Pembrokeshire coast, I know what you're going to say. As you walk around it and you see those sights, you're going to say, "What a big band that was." You're not going to say that, are you? When you see it, no, you're not. You're going to say, when you walk around that Pembrokeshire coast, something will lift your heart. Something will lift your eyes. Something will have a call within you. And you think the one who made it was mighty and powerful and wise. And the one who must have made this is filled with a beauty I can't even begin to imagine. And there's something of that natural order which will call you to worship him. But one day they will join that worship. But here's the point. You are called this day, are you not, to worship him? And you're not called to worship the creature. And that's where it all goes wrong. You find that in Romans chapter 1. And when you think of all the mess that we're in this day, morally, spiritually, where we've come to the declension within the nation, and Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, it's clear. These great attributes of God are clearly seen. We know that. Because they knew God. They did not glorify him as God. Nor were they thankful. But became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. And when you see the decline, morally and spiritually, there's a place of a fountain from which it all flows. And it flows from this. That people no longer worship the Creator, but they're worshipping the very creation itself. Listen to this psalm. The psalmist tells us the heavens that people have worshipped in the past, the sun, the moon, the stars, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky, shining forth the glory of God. And you need to know that these creatures worship him. Now, if there was one thing I wish they had taught me sometimes when I was in wherever I was supposed to be learning, I thought to myself, if someone had just given me guitar lessons, it may have been a better help. I'm no worship leader, but I can show you from these very first verses who you are to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Can't you miss that? Praise him. All this created order. Then you find, don't you, there it is as you look down because of this which has happened. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He commanded them. They were created. They established. And his decrees, they don't pass away. That's why they do it. The stars remain. The sun remains. Shows us his faithfulness, his goodness, his kindness. Shows us his great power. But now I want you to look from verses 7 to verses 12. He calls now to the earth. I could say the tenors have been called and now the baritones are called in. What you've got here from verse 7 is this whole coming now of the earth. And he begins with the sea creatures and all the depths. And then it goes higher until you go throughout the creation, till you come to the pinnacle of creation, which is then man and woman and you and me, no matter who we are, kings, children, old people, young people, are all called to worship him. And so you find that in this very psalm, there is this cry now, as Jesus prayed and taught us to pray. As on earth, as in heaven, on earth. And that's a prayer, isn't it? That whatever's taking place in heaven today, that it will also be taking place on earth in our lives, in this place. And there is now a harmony which we are being called into. Now, one of the things that in our lives that you may struggle with at times, and there may be someone here today who feels that somehow they're just not fitting in. You don't fit in with life. You don't fit in church. You don't fit in your family. That can happen. It really can happen. If you're from a Christian family and you're not a Christian, that can be a real jar. And it can happen also, as you know, perhaps in work. There may be something within you which just says, I just can't seem to fit in. And one of the reasons is this. It may be simply because you don't fit in to the whole cosmic program that God has. And that cosmic program is this. Is that God is calling you to come and to worship him. And he's calling you to come and praise him. And you don't know of a song in your heart. You have nothing perhaps that you believe that you can sing. And that somehow life itself, you're missing out. Look, there's a real need within us for a song which God can give. And what happens is it's not that he gives it just to us, but to join with others. And to be part of what God has. Years ago, they used to have that song, wasn't it? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony with, what was it, birds and bees and honey trees and Coca-Cola and the rest of it. But what happens is this. It's a desire in people's lives that they would be a joining together. Now, here it is. That prayer that it will be on earth as it is in heaven. And so he begins, and here you've got in verse 7, he talks about these great creatures of all the depths. Notice that, the great creatures of all the depths. And those great creatures down in that sea where no one can, plummet the very depths of this natural order. The sea and the seabed, which is so low, creatures which are out of sight in the dark, creatures we can't even begin to comprehend, little creatures, so small, great creatures. I'm sure some of you have watched David Attenborough, and someone has told me that David Attenborough is an atheist. He that's what he is, and he believes all this has come from, nothing. Well, all I can say about David Attenborough is this: he's one of the greatest worship leaders I know, because when you're sitting there, as he begins to explain how these creatures live, how then they survive, what they do, and all the rest, you're amazed, aren't you? You're just thinking to yourself. And now he says, those creatures which are in the sea, the bottom of the sea, things that you've never even seen, they've got a call that they should come and worship God. And that tells me something, that there is no one here this day that is in such a dark place that you can't come and worship God. There's no one here this day who is so alone and isolated from all the rest and the beauty of God that you can't come and worship God. And there's no one here this day who perhaps is so far away from God that he's caught. And so small. Is it for me? Yes, he wants you in that heavenly choir. He wants you to come. And then look what he does. He then talks now in verse 8. This is also to praise him. Something that I hope that you holidaymakers are going to do for the next few days, because it's the one thing we don't praise God for. The weather. The weather. The fire and hail, the snow and clouds, the stormy wind. Look at that line. Fulfilling his word. And if I were to ask you as you got up this morning, what was your response? What weather? What terrible weather? What horrible weather? What cold weather? And then, it was just perhaps 6 weeks ago, what hot weather? And we can't seem to have that weather, which is just right. But listen to it, the stormy wind, the snow and clouds, they're all fulfilling his word. And there's a reason for it. And God has a purpose with every drop of rain that falls. And God has a purpose in every hail that falls and snow that falls, that you may not realize it, but his purposes are fulfilling something which gives glory to his name, because he wants this praise. I don't know if you had a picture in your mind of what is perhaps some of your most special moments in life, and what would they be? If you could put yourself there in, it's not going to be Tenerife, and it's not going to be somewhere else, where would you be? Well, if I could just give you one, tell you what a good place to be. I found it very, very something which raises one's heart. It's on a November cold winter's morning. And I know that when the storm comes and the rain comes down, that will wash out many from a place of worship. But I also know that on those mornings, there will be some which will come. And you feel like yourself, like if you're hemmed in, you're in a shelter, and there's a few which have come. But the ones which have come, they've come to worship God. They've come to praise his name. And God's made that storm for a purpose. And he's made that climate for a purpose. He's made that day for a purpose. And you may not realize it, but God says, I'm going to have my worship. And there's going to be those which are going to come and they're going to praise me. Special days indeed. Then he comes, look, in verses 9, and it's the hills which are steadfast, the harvest and the fruitful trees, the beasts and the cattle, the dog which howls and the horse which snorts, all these creatures and the birds of heaven, they're all joining in. But remember this, there's a call to you and to me this day. The kings of the earth, all people, princes, all judges, both young men, maidens, old men and children, all people are to worship him. In your life, there is a place and there is this which God wants us to come to, and it is that we will one day praise him. Actually, no matter what that day is, there are difficult days, stormy days, bad days, but there's still this call to praise God. Is there a day which you've had in your life where you can't praise God? Is there something that you have been and you say today is not the day for praise of God? No, I don't think it's like that. It may be difficult and it may be hard, but it is praise to be given to God. It was a number of years ago, we had John Rogers, who came from First Baptist Church, Ashborough. He's come here on a number of occasions. And in the life of the church, there was a terrible car accident. Four of the young people were lost lives, and one was severely paralyzed in hospital, quadriplegic and fighting for one's life. And I never forget the story that he gave of the mother and the father who would sit at the bed of their daughter who had been in this terrible car accident. And what took place was this, is that the mother went in with a piece of paper and she noted the things to thank God for. To thank God for. She had made it that in this situation, there would be something that she would thank him for. There's a call in this psalm because we don't praise him. And we think we got reasons not to praise him. We believe that perhaps a place of worship is not for children. You may believe that. It's only for old people. I'm glad to see the young people here. Glad to see the young children here. It's a place, you see, let the young people praise him. Let those which are old, you say, no, let them come and let them praise him. And whatever else this place is about is for the praise of God. And there are many reasons that you may come to a place of worship this day, to hear God's word, to offer your praise. But it's also this, to praise God. I was on a camp last week, you know, with the children. I shouldn't have said this word. I knew it was the wrong word to say. But it came out, and there it was, it happened. And I was trying to tell them to praise God. And I was telling them what I used to say to Luther when he was your age. And this was the wrong word, right? But you have to understand where Luther comes from and I come from. And we used to go to church, and I'd say to Luther, I'd say this, something like this. I'd say, now, Luther, remember this. Even if I have to give you a big hiding, remember this, always sing the first hymn. Learn that, sing the first hymn. And that was something in your life. Because I tell you, if you go one inch with God, he will go 10,000 miles with you. And when you've come into this place with all the burdens, all the cares, all the anxieties of all that's in your life, just sing that first hymn and let the people praise him, no matter who they are. And perhaps then we'll go on. Then it comes, look, lastly to this in verse 13 and verse 14. Now the whole of creation is being joined. Let them praise the name of the Lord. These are the reasons, for his name alone is exalted. Thank God for that. That the name of Jesus, which was blasphemed and despised and spat upon and ridiculed upon that cross of Calvary, thank God today that God has risen him from the grave and honored his glorious and wonderful life, and to know that now he's exalted in heaven, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you praise him for the very fact that he's being praised. It's a wonderful thing. You don't know how powerful your testimony is this morning in the very praise of God. Sometimes I'm out speaking, and because our services, they last longer than other churches, and this starts at a later time, I'm out in the front. I'm outside waiting for the service to finish. And you know, I will confess that sometimes I'm like you, how long is this going to be? And I'm outside, I'm waiting, and then the hymn, the final hymn, and I hear you sing, and it's of Jesus, and Jesus is being praised. It thrills one's heart. He is being honored. It's a powerful testimony. He tells us here in these verses, because of what he has done. In verse 14, he's exalted the horn of his people. He has made them victorious. That when you came to him, he did not just come and save you. He did do that, and he cleansed you, and he washed you, and he forgave you, but he empowered you, and then he equipped you, and then he made you something you weren't. You were a beggar on the dung heap. He made you to sit with kings and princes in heavenly places, and he's given you a life and a purpose, and he's given you honor, and he's exalted you, and he's done that in your life. And a person who becomes a Christian, you praise him for that. No matter what's taken place and happened, you know that you are now a child of God, and you've got a great inheritance which is in front of you. And then you praise him. He says the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. You're the ones this morning to give this hallelujah chorus. You're the one because you've been brought near to him. He has made you nigh by the blood of his cross. That you, his people, the heavens, yes, the birds, the beasts, but you who have been brought so close to him, you who are near to his heart, you to which Christ died for, you to which every obstacle has been done away with, you now who have been brought to the very throne of grace, you who have come to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and have communion with him, you who are so near to him this day that you say to the Almighty Creator, Father, hear me, I come to you. You now in Jesus Christ, our elder brother, the one who became flesh in this world, joined to our humanity and our nature, one in which we will then become partakers of the divine nature. You who are so near to him, where there is nothing in between you and God, every sin, every spot, every stain, and you stand before him in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You praise him. You praise him. You're to praise him today. Now look at these words, and I'm going to close with them because they're very important. What I've said to you is not fiction. It's not fantasy, and it's not wishful thinking. Because in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 13. I'll read it to you slowly. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. There is a choir that God is calling us all to be part of. There's a performance one day which all will give to the Lamb which was slain. There's no singing in hell. There is no praise without him. You all have that summons to join in, which will one day be the best choir and to the best Lord forever. Amen.